do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided tour through the junk drawer of one man's brain.
That would be me.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. Yes. I mean, I would be doing better, I think, if it weren't so goddamn hot out right now. But yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's May, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, does that mean the summer is here? I mean, that doesn't seem right. It's the Bay Area.
It's the pre-summer, and then the post-summer will be hot.
Yes. Yeah.
Actual summer, we have the fog to look forward to that we know and love.
That is true. And then will come true summer starting at the end of August. Entirely fair.
Fuck yeah.
I'm ready now, because my apartment is basically a solar oven at this point. And there's not much I can do about it, but that is okay. I'm here now, in your place, which is much cooler.
It is. We've got the flow through.
Yes.
We've got that shotgun Victorian construction.
It's true.
I've just been running around with my dog, so that's why I'm sitting across the table from both of you. Just FYI.
Whiskey is larger, I feel like, than the last time I saw her.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I keep feeding her.
What is her maximum size going to be?
They guess probably 15 to 20 pounds.
Incredible.
She's 11 pounds and 6 months right now.
All right.
So
she will soon be at the height of her powers.
Yeah, I hope that she doesn't grow any faster, because I keep picking out cute little sweaters and then I have to trade them out, and I like those little sweaters.
I understand. Well, how has your life been lately?
It's all right, you know? It's mostly centered around dogs and judging yuppies for their fucking stupid dog names.
Do you have any greatest hits?
I mean, I hate to potentially let this get back to the crew in DuBose Park.
Mm.
I'm just going to say that if you have the time to think of a cute little coffee, a little espresso brewed beverage name for your dog, you have time to actually pick up your dog's shit in the park. Just a thought.
Yes. Yeah, not to put anybody on blast.
Just a thought.
That's fair.
There have been some real tone-deaf ethnic food names, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Well, I think it might be time to introduce our guest. Our guest in this episode. My friend Felicia, who is, and just, okay. Here's the thing about Felicia, which I don't know if many people know this, which is that all of the candy booze that, like, you know, that for some reason I have become known amongst our friends for, Felicia was, like, she helped me develop most of those flavors.
Oh. Yeah, so all of the flavors that weren't clawingly sweet were my fault.
That makes sense.
Yes. And I feel like development would have continued had I not, had I not moved to an apartment where I just had no shelf space. So who knows? Perhaps the next place that I, you know, I'll have like a lab of some kind and we can get back to it. Because I think that we had just begun to hit upon the notion of mixing candies as well. Right, like more than one kind of candy and one booze.
But a blend.
My favorite part about this project is how much John and I got to sit around and, like, do the evil mwahaha. Like, that was just kind of like, we would just sit there and, like, every once in a while we would take a sip and be like, mwahaha. And I miss those days. I miss evil laughter.
That's fair.
Have more of it in our life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, definitely. I mean, I had a lot of little Tupperwares that, you know, like we put one piece of candy in and then about a shot's worth of booze just to, you know, then we just let them sit for a couple of days and come
taster.
Back. And so there would be an array of tastings, and sometimes we'd hit upon some that were like,
wow. He's so much better at the evil laugh. So much
he
better.
He's appallingly good at it.
There are many skills.
Like he does
so much practice.
But there were definitely some surprising duds in that process. Like, remember, we couldn't get peach rings to go with anything.
Yeah, but but the grapefruit ones tasted delicious.
Yes, the grapefruit
which was
crazy.
And remember when I decided to put it with gin and we were like, mine exploding.
That was the best idea.
Yeah.
That was the best idea.
Especially that because sounds like my nightmare.
I hate gin. And so I'm like, what can we put in it that will make it taste
gin
not like gin?
And grapefruit.
Yeah.
It was delicious.
The Haribo grapefruit slices dissolve completely if you let them sit long
enough. Astonishing.
Yeah. Which was not a behavior we saw out of any other Haribo candy in any other booth.
Yeah.
But
no wax in that one, apparently.
I guess not. But yeah, but we couldn't make peach rings. We thought peach rings and bourbon would be a sure
thing. That sounds amazing. Yes.
It's gross as shit.
It was terrible. Yeah. We tried it in rum, also not good.
Yeah. Peach rings were not meant to be. I can't explain it either. I don't know.
My heart hurts a little now. <I'm sorry. laughs>
Well, for any new listeners, what's happening is that I've been writing down every stray idea I've ever had, the moment I've had it, for the last decade. And I've accumulated hundreds of them, but I've never done anything with them. So it's time to throw them out into the world for someone else to run with. And I've enlisted my excellent friends and their friends to help root through the archive and see what's what. And today Felicia is going to do that.
Okay, so I feel like I'm going to be extra difficult on you because I've known John for the better part of a decade.
It's true.
And so because of that, I am not going to take it easy on you, and I'm going to pick the ones that probably no one else wants to talk about. Just so you know.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
First topic.
Yes.
I'm really excited about this one, guys. Strip clubs for shy nerds. There's so much we can do with this.
There are not very many times where I have felt the need to go to a strip club, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been to them enough times where I sort of like, I kind of know what the etiquette is.
Right.
But I think that, like, there's always going to be, like, you know, like the first time, right? Especially for, like, some shy nerds. And they need to know what the deal is.
So is it like a cosplay cafe? Like, is everybody in, like, your favorite nerdy TV show costume to start? And then you're like, oh, I feel weirdly better about this.
Okay. Well, see, what I was thinking of was that it would be a strip club where everybody, like, where all of the strippers teach the etiquette while they're, you know, while they're doing their stripper thing.
Could it be both?
Yes, exactly.
Otherwise, it sounds like a sister business to our nerd brothel.
Right. Which, you know what? Those could exist in the same building, honestly. Where, like, the brothel goes on the second floor and above, and the strip club is on the first floor. But yes. Yeah, why not?
And this is how you launder all your nerd money.
I mean, I mean
sweet, sweet nerd
money. Yeah, exactly. I would I have this feeling that it would do all right, depending on what city you put it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, why not?
I mean, where do all the shy nerds hide? Like, where are the target markets? Like, where should we really be putting these business plans together?
Okay.
San Francisco.
Hold up.
I don't know. I wouldn't say San Francisco. No.
But like, so many tech nerds gather here, right? Like, mm-hmm. like 20-year-old boys in hoodies who have no idea how to behave at a strip club. Like, there needs to be a venue for those so that they need to know what the deal is. However, I am now picturing a pop-up that follows Comic Cons around. Because, like, there's a Comic-Con in every city at least once a year, right? And like, right. I mean, like, you know, it's con season. It's a thing. So from, I think, roughly, like, February up until maybe October-ish, you'd have to go from city to city with this idea.
Do you know what this strip club definitely needs? Our candy booze. Because, I mean, if you're nerdy, you should be drinking candy. Because you're... So my idea is I like the con crawl idea.
Yes.
But I also think just targeting, like, the nerdiest colleges.
Oh.
Like, what are the, like, most engineer-heavy... Like, I think of, like, CMU.
Well, as a CMU alum...
I know. I went there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, that was my entree to the world of the strip club. Through friends who had already been there, right? So they knew what to do. But, I mean, like, you know, it's going to be everybody's first time at some point. This is all I'm saying. But, yeah.
Maybe it's a series of instructional videos. I can't talk.
Yeah.
I think now that this microphone is in front of me, my voice has stopped wanting to work. So just give me a minute. I need a glass of wine.
I, you know, I feel like shy nerds, I don't know if this is true, but as a shy nerd in many areas, I prefer to just read about it on the internet first.
Yeah. So maybe this is just like some instructional.
And I know there are instructionals on like how to be a good client to a sex worker, usually intended more for the prostitution end of things. So there must be for...
What if it was a comic book? What if it was a comic book about how graphic to be novel, not an ass at a strip club?
God.
Oh, that'd be great.
God, actually, you know what? Now I feel dumb because I feel like surely somebody's done one.
But if a comic not, book a, about it?
There's an,
I don't the, know.
We should find it.
Yeah, a comic strip guide to strip club etiquette.
Yeah.
Huh. That has to have been done. You know what? We
need to go to the tape on this one.
Yes.
We need to look this up. That means. Okay, so kind of on a similar topic.
Yes.
I'm seeing here, general video game theme park.
Okay.
So, what do you mean by this? It says here Mario, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, etc. But is this, like, one theme park where, like, all of the video games happen? Or is it, like, Mario Land's theme park?
I had an idea. I mean, like, this was actually... So, in a previous episode, we did cover... a Mario theme park.
Okay.
But I think that there is room in this world for more than just that. Like, there should be, I feel like there should be a theme park for just BioWare by themselves could do a theme park. There'd be a Mass Effect section and there'd be a Dragon Age section, and that's all they
need. What it sounds like is like EA needs a theme park. Like, so imagine like Disney, where everyone has their own land, has their own like area and castle or whatever.
Certainly.
It would have like all the best titles. Imagine there being like a, what's the car racing one where you're kind of a jerk and you drive all around?
Bumper cars.
And no.
The video
what is this
game?
Game?
Grand Theft Auto?
Yes. A video game.
But like, I mean, there's a cool way you can make that into a ride, I'm sure. Like, I mean, I think there's a lot of potential there.
There is definitely, yes. But okay, so I mean, like, but as far as I'm concerned, like the only games that I feel like need theme parks are Mass Effect and Dragon Age. And like, I mean,
there's so much
those
more.
Those fucking BioShock people would want to do something, I bet.
I want to go. Yeah. I want to go on a portal ride. What?
Oh.
There has to be a portal ride at this theme park.
Oh God! How would you?
I know. I don't even know.
Mirrors.
Something.
Tilted floors. I don't know.
Oh God.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Would
dear.
Be super cool.
Oh dear.
This is kind of like The Prestige, where he tries to replicate what turns out to just be... this is a spoiler, so stop listening if you haven't seen this film. Where he tries to replicate what turns out to be twin brothers by cloning himself and killing his clones. You are actually going to develop portals in order to make a fun video game theme park ride, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I think that's useful.
I'm in. I want to see a Mass Effect theme park section. You know, yeah, like Tomorrowland.
It can be like a land of Mass Effect.
Like it's the Citadel. You know, like you arrive. Of course, now that Andromeda is a thing, you'd also need a Nexus. You could figure it out. In fact, it would be funnier if on one end of the park is Mass Effect land with the Citadel, and then on the other end of the park is a smaller one for the Andromeda fans. And yes,
Denerim and Valroy somewhere in the middle.
But what's the one that takes place with the guy with the hood and he like jumps on buildings and
Assassin's
things?
Assassin's Creed.
That would be a great video, like theme park ride. There has to be some way you can make that.
You've got like logjam type, not log, whatever it is, like rides where you're like jumping off the building safely.
Or like a village where like all of the all of the buildings are like about the height of like a kitchen table.
Yeah,
and you know like there and all the roofs and things and there's no like there's the streets.
But you have to have like an objective and collect things. Like, that needs to be part of the ride. That would be so cool.
Yeah, I have never been to the Harry Potter one, but like don't they have like wand dueling and stuff that you can do? Or I need to go to the Harry Potter one.
I also didn't get to go on any of the Star Wars rides at Disneyland because I went over Christmas with my family and there were small children and it was Christmas and it was Christmas, which means it was insanely packed. And the line for Star Wars was 2.5 hours long.
Oh my God.
But I think that would be a good jumping off point is looking at what they did with those rides.
Yes.
And then being like, let's do this for video games.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And it can't just be the one where you walk into a room and you buckle yourself in and the whole room shakes.
No. I mean, they've been doing this since I was like 5 years old. Yeah. Like,
To be fair, there is one of those with the Mass Effect theme at Great America, and it's great. But definitely there could be better ones, for sure.
Wait, there's one with a Mass Effect theme at Great America?
Yes.
Amazing.
Well, incredible. I've been. We'll go. Incredible. I will happily go again.
The first one of those rides I went on was, it was Hanna-Barbera themes, and this was like back in the 80s, and now no one knows what Hanna-Barbera is, but like you're like chasing Muttley and Dick Dastardly around and being like, we're gonna catch you! But the whole thing was just like ridiculous because you were supposed to be in this like weird, I don't know, spaceship thing? I don't even know. Like, I have no idea what the point of this ride is, but I will say the newer versions of this ride make so much more sense than that one.
I pour one out metaphorically for the same ride of that type that was at Star Trek The Experience at the Vegas Hilton up until about 2007.
I will say, though, one of the like reused rides that I thought was really interesting is at Disneyland. They redid 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea as Finding Nemo, and it was really good. It's like kind of the same experience. You still get into submarine, but they did all this amazing like projections and stuff with like video that made it really compelling, and like I got a little like weepy, and I was like, oh my god, this ride is so good. My niece got scared, and I was like, it's okay, it's not really a shark. But like, it was great. I really, that was one of the rides where I got on when I was a kid, got on as an adult, and I was like, I think this is a big improvement. This is great.
Actually better than I remember.
So much better.
I've got pals who work there, so I should go down at some point to LA I haven't seen those guys in a while, but like, also, I could get into Disneyland.
I think you mean you have friends who are cast members?
No. They work somewhere else within the Disney family.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So how much time do we have? Because I have a good topic, and I don't want to bring it up if we don't have time.
Oh, we've got time for at least one.
Okay, ready? This one's going to be great. Old people crime. Let's talk about old people crime.
All right, what category is that under?
It says art. I don't know. It could literally mean anything.
Yeah, is there anything in the notes field for that?
No. Nope.
Okay. Those are my favorite. I literally have no idea what this is.
So I see this and I imagine like a little old man wearing a three-piece suit and a top hat and a cane, like coming up and seriously threatening someone like Marlon Brando, Old Man Scary, and then walking out and looking all like cute and innocent and totally getting away with the crime because no one would have thought this little old man was so cutthroat. And I think it's kind of brilliant.
I think that's more or less what it is.
I'm kind of picturing like vandalizing vending machines and ATMs. Property crime, less intimidation. But
I was picturing like a bank heist or something where it was like a bunch of old dudes. And granted, I think a movie of this type just came out.
I do remember. I want to say it's like
Morgan Freeman.
A bunch of actors that you're like, yeah, he's good in everything he was in. Like Got Together and Jack Nicholson might be in it too. It's like really random.
Yeah, like a bunch of old dudes are just like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just gonna start doing crimes. So clearly, it's a good idea.
But I like it being smaller crimes. Like, you know, when you're a little kid and you like steal candy from the store and like you don't really know any better. Like, I like old people just be deciding like, I'm so fucking old, I don't even care. All these little crimes that you used to try to do when you were a kid, I'm just gonna start crying it up again. Like, who needs to follow the law?
I never made it all the way through Red, but was that part of the premise?
Were they doing
a good thing?
No. They were all assassins.
Right. Yes. Yeah, creaky old John Malkovich in the swamp.
Yeah.
And Helen Mirren with, like, a giant fur.
But she's, like, she does not even count in the old category because she is gorgeous. And I don't even know how she lives her life. Just magically.
But they're all clearly getting too old for this shit.
Yes.
At least have that attitude, even if they're the majestic Helen Mirren.
Any of you guys watch something, Grace and Frankie, or the Netflix show?
I've heard it's great.
It is really good. I will say, I mean, this is kind of taking us a little bit away from old people crime, but it was a show, it's a really endearing show about, and I'm not really giving anything up because it's in the credits, you can kind of understand what is happening, but these two families grew up together. They were super close. They grew up as kids. And then when the when everybody was retiring, the dads left their wives because they've been in love with each other for like a decade. And it completely shakes up the family. And the whole thing is about like how every single person in the family deals with basically their dads like running away together and getting married. And it's so cute. And the dude from Law and Order is in it. Sam something.
Mm.
And like the whole cast is great. But I do love the fact that there exists a compelling like family comedy that is centered around retirement and like being, I don't know, I think that is so progressive and so awesome. And you know what? If we can do that, old people can be criminals too. Why not?
Going in Style, 2017.
Yes.
Morgan Freeman, Alan Arkin, and Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is so good, right? Like, why wouldn't you watch that movie?
Zach Braff is directing it.
No, but I think it came out.
There was one that came out.
Yeah, no, I think it may have. Right, it came out in early April, apparently.
Straight to airplane theaters to you.
It's received mixed reviews.
I'd watch it. I don't know. I think it's awesome.
That is a good cast.
44% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, no! No one will ever watch that movie.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Christopher Lloyd is in it.
Rotten Tomatoes has been wrong before. I would bet it's you true. That the Rotten Tomatoes rating for Jupiter Ascending is low, and that shit is
incredible. Love that movie.
I think we have time for one more.
Okay, I'll try to pick a good one.
Of course,
or a quick one. Okay, so one of the ones that jumped out at me that is quick is Chorus Only Karaoke. I'm fundamentally against this. Please tell me why you like this idea.
Okay, there are certain songs that I literally only know because of karaoke. Right? Like, people only play them there. But the thing that I'm finding is more prevalent is people will get up to do a song, they only know how the chorus goes. And they have no idea how the verses go. This is especially true for like rap songs. Mm-hmm. And usually with those songs, it's like, you know, the songs where people only know the chorus, there's like 15 fucking verses.
Yeah.
And so it's just painful to witness.
You've got like two full agonizing minutes on stage.
But what I want to know is like, why isn't there like a little booth off to the side from karaoke where before you go up, you can just like listen to the song quickly?
That's why you go outside and listen on your
headphones. No, I kind of do, but I'm always sitting like far enough away with the phone to my ear and like,
I'm actually smoking around me
and I'm like,
song.
Oh, this is crazy. Yeah, because you can't remember if you know it or not. Yeah. But if there was just like this set of headphones and you like put in your song, you get to listen to it really quick, everyone would do a better job. Everyone would be more confident. Huh. You wouldn't be awkwardly in the corner hoping that no one notices that you're listening to the song you're about to sing. It is really stressful.
That's an idea. But so for this one, though, here's the thing also is that with... So chorus only karaoke, right? Like, you get up there and the chorus plays and, like, there's maybe one verse and then the chorus again and then maybe the chorus again and then,
then
you can get off stage. Well, no, but everybody... Here's the thing is that also everybody likes singing the chorus.
Can we limit it to, like, 60 seconds and then we're just done? Because, like, some songs are only chorus.
That's
like,
also true.
Like, The Doors is, like, 10 minutes of fucking chorus.
And there are some songs where it's kind of impossible to, like, separate chorus.
Oh, my God. Chorus is so definitely. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, no. We're all about the swearing. But, like, there are some songs where, like, it's impossible to separate the chorus from everything else, right? So, like, that would be no-go. But you know, you're only up there for about a minute, and then that's the other thing is that then it would give more people more chances to sing more songs.
That's what I like. Like, if it basically means that you show up and, you know, 25 people sing and you actually might have a chance to go because you showed
instead
up
of,
at 7:05 instead of 6 o'clock, because who shows up to karaoke at 6 o'clock?
Right.
Like, maybe you get to sing by the end of the night.
Right.
And you don't have to stay at the Mint until 11:30
And then
when
they don't play your song.
Because
some party came in and they play all their songs and you're like, damn you.
Yeah. You get up there, you know, there's like the first verse, the chorus, maybe there's like a solo, and then the chorus again, and that's it. And then
could be like chorus, most popular, obvious verse chorus.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. Like, that's a whole song.
Whoever is making these karaoke versions would need to really do some deep thinking about each song.
There are some songs where it's like, you probably know one verse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you probably know...
Every dude knows...
One verse.
You know what bothers me?
First verse of Baby Got Back.
Even more, though. That's true.
I know all of the words.
What bothers me even more is long intros, where you have to fucking stand up there for 30 seconds while the guitar is showing off
and all the
sweet licks. Yes. And you're like, my drink is over there. Do I go get it now?
That's the part where you just get to talk to the rest of the people in the bar. This one goes out to everybody else here. And then, you know, whatever thing.
And that's karaoke.
No, that's
cool. I go to dance karaoke, and I will say he cuts out all of those. DJ Purple, who's amazing, and we should go.
Yes.
You have never been.
I've never been, but I've heard about it.
Oh my god!
Wait, to where?
Dance karaoke with DJ Purple.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. But what? He has a highly curated list. He only has songs that you can dance to, and he cuts out all of those long bits at the beginning and whatever, so that they don't exist. So I feel like you'd be so happy.
Yes.
But in addition to all of these amazing magical things, he also plays the saxophone and the cowbell and wears amazing LeMay outfits. It's my
Sold.
Place. It's my happy place.
I've heard legends. Yeah. I've heard legends, but I've never been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sold.
Right. Well, perfection.
We'll all go together.
Perfection. All right, I think we have now reached that part of the show where one of us gives a terrible recommendation, or we can showcase an idea from our guest, or one of, or Besha, honestly, if Besha's had an idea. Does anybody here have a terrible recommendation or an idea?
Name your dog after a coffee-based drink. And make that the most thought you ever give to your
dog.
But
I really want to understand, like, when you say name your dog, can you, like, give some examples? Like, is it, like, mocha? Is it,
mocha.
Like, cappuccino?
Little
someone
cappuccino,
that's
baby.
Cappuccino across the...
Along those lines, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get in trouble with they'll kick me out of the dog park, you guys.
Okay,
I don't understand.
We won't...
I gotta protect confidentiality
so many...
here.
Food dog name.
Oh, totally. Like, my dog is named Whiskey.
There's Whiskey. There's
there were like, two mangoes in her puppy manners class.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the obvious choice is that. So, like, for me, when I name my dog, I went for, like, let's pick a name that I can scream in a park and no one will turn their head. That has since changed because now every 1 year old is named Paisley and I have no idea.
Really?
Why. It's such a trend. Like, little babies are like, oh, look at him, Paisley. And I was like, no. I thought
you.
But regardless, from all of these things, I do think that, like, dogs named after food is a thing that's always going to happen.
Absolutely.
But, like, I don't know, like, what do you call it? Like, double mocha latte with extra foam? Like, is that your dog's name?
It felt like it was along those lines. It wasn't, you know, little espresso. It was a little Americano. It was a little foofier. A barista had to have a hand in it.
I
specialized equipment.
I understand.
Olé.
Alrighty. Well, I think that will do it for this episode. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as Ferocious J, the word ferocious, the letter J. You can subscribe to my newsletter at tinyletter.com/ferocious J, after which I will put something fascinating in your inbox every week, as well as alerting you when new episodes come out.
Oh, yeah.
That's a thing.
I gotta do that.
Yay, episodes.
Yes.
You can find me on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A. You can also find me on Goodreads if you want to poke around and see some of my incredibly angry reviews.
And you can find me on the internet as RealFeed, that is 4 E's, R-E-E-L-F-E-E-D, on pretty much all the platforms.
Excellent. This podcast is available pretty much anywhere you listen to them. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, whatever platform you're using, consider leaving us a nice review or rating, whatever it is that platform uses, as it will help more people discover us and increases the chances of one of these ideas actually getting out into the world. And remember, if you've heard an idea that you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I'll take a cut.
Me too.